And good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, April the 19th, 2016, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming up on 12:15. Scott Spears along with you on the Now program, and we are going to have a lot of fun today because we have guests on this show that are just amazing, and I'm not going to tell you who any of them are. You're just going to have to stay tuned for the next 2 hours because it's a show you're not going to want to miss, so don't go anywhere. Now, I do want to let everybody know that you can now stream WWGH Radio live anywhere on the planet from any listening device, cell phone, tablet, laptop, smart TV by just going to www.wwgh1071.com, and we are now also available on the app TuneIn, right along with 100,000 other radio stations. So if you have the TuneIn app on your smartphone or television, you can listen to this station live all the time. And if you go to the website, wwgh1071.com, you can catch archives of all the people who have been on this show in recent weeks. And we have had a lot of great guests, from F. Lee Bailey last week to Jim Lavelle, who was handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated, to Dick Gregory, Charles Grodin, the whole bunch. But we need to get started right away on this program because, as many of you know, I am an ardent Chicago Cubs fan. And last year, when they went down by just a hair of making the World Series in 2015, it was a heartbreaker for certainly me and I think people outside of Illinois as well. So, the baseball season has started. The Cubs' record right now stands as 10-3, and they are in first place in their division by 3 games. It's an amazing start, and who else would we go to start the program but the legendary Chicago Cubs announcer for so many years through the 80s and 90s, the legendary Harry Carey. Harry, how are you?
Hello again, everybody. Listen, Scott, I've been streaming WWGH up in heaven.
Really? We get it in, we're in heaven.
That's right. What a great radio station. I love it.
Well, we love to hear from you, Harry. How is heaven this time of year?
Well, it's very mild up here. You know, it's not, in that other place, they get a heat wave. But up here, it's very nice and mild. It's about 76 degrees. The beer is cold. It's a wonderful situation.
I can imagine it is. Harry, you like Palm Springs, though. Is there any similarities?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you know, we have a desert up here, too. It's very nice. People get away. You know, they have golf courses. It's the golf courses up here are very well maintained.
I'm glad to hear that. Something for us all to look forward to.
But you don't want to look forward to it too soon.
No, we don't want to get there quick. As much as we'd like to see you, we don't want to make a run for it.
That's right.
Harry, tell me, before we go to this season, how sad was it last year when the Cubs came so close? Everybody thought they had it. They were going to the World Series.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was a heartbreaker. The Mets pitching staff came in, and I don't know what it was, but they just knew how to handle them. And it was, I was drinking heavily.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was before they lost.
That's right. That's right, Scott. Exactly right.
It's a horrible thing because, you know, we had so many people on the program. We had your wife Dutchie on. We had Pat Brickhouse on.
Oh, love Pat.
Jack Rosenberg.
Yes.
And they all, for the first time, really felt like it was going to happen.
Oh, love my wife, love Pat. We all thought it was. There were celebrations, people getting very excited. I mean, when the Cubs finally break through and win it, this city's going to burn for days.
Well, that being said, Harry, the season has started 10-3.
Sure.
That's a great start.
You just hope they're not leading up to the next great disappointment. You know, when Schwarber went down, it was real tough.
Yes, it was.
You know, that was a shocking injury to start off the season, so we're holding our breath here. But, you know, the nice thing is the Cubs have so much depth that, you know, they can overcome it. We just hope there's not another injury or something that goes wrong. You know, you got to be a little superstitious after it's been 100-and-some years of no World Series. You know what the joke is? What do the World Series and a sterile bear have in common? No Cubs! And that's a joke I'd like to get rid of.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we could... I mean, what would happen? I mean, you say Chicago would burn. I mean, what would happen nationally?
You know, listen, they'll go absolutely ballistic. This is going to be one of the biggest moments in the history of sports when the Cubs finally break through.
I would hate to be the team that has to play them in the World Series because it's a no-winner.
That's right.
Because if you lose, you lose. But if you win, you're the one who robbed the Cubs.
Well, that's right. And you know, the White Sox proved that... Lightning can strike any time in 2005 because, you know, they were picked for fourth place when they came out of spring training. So you never know what's going to happen, and that's why baseball is such a wonderful sport.
Why are the Cubs the last one in this line?
You know, they had great teams before. You know, we all know that, 69, they were heavily favored to beat the Mets, and once again, those Mets came up and shocked us, and they did it again last year. I don't know what it is about them, but they have our number sometimes, and I don't know, you know, I don't know why the Cubs are last in line. It's just one of those things.
Are you superstitious? Is it the curse of the goat?
I'm not sure if it's the curse of the goat or just really bad management. But they've got a guy now, Mr. Ricketts, who this guy seems to know what he's doing, and Theo Epstein, these are all very good baseball people. So I think there's good days ahead.
You know, you worked under the Tribune Company.
That's right.
Now, were they just there to be there? Did they just like putting that on television? Were not really had other interest than baseball?
I don't think they cared if they won or lost as long as the park was filled.
And why does this feel different for Mr. Ricketts?
Because, you know, if you look at the guy, he's a stock guy. He's an analyst. And he made sure that he bought in the right people, and he stays out of their way. And that's the good thing. He doesn't interfere. He lets Theo do his job.
And he's a fan at heart.
That's exactly right. And he doesn't, you know, if you stay out of the baseball people's way, they'll get the job done. But when you start meddling, you know, it gets to be a little rough.
What do you make of the renovations that went on at Wrigley?
You know, part of me likes them and part of me doesn't. But the park is charming without all those screens in it. And I'm an old-fashioned guy, as you know, and I would just appreciate if maybe they went back to the old park with the, you know, the manual scoreboard and they played all their games in the day. I just like that tradition.
Well, you know, it was my understanding for so many years that that is why it was. I thought they didn't update Wrigley because they wanted that feel.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden there's all these gadgets and gizmos in there. And I don't know, you know, it's like Soldier Field in Chicago. It looks like... They always say it looks like a spaceship landed on the Colosseum from outside. But it's actually, once you get inside, it's beautiful.
You're exactly right. Now, Harry, just to get away from the Cubs here for a minute, because on the front page of every newspaper across the country today, without question, is the New York primary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big-time stuff. Now, let's start with the Republicans here. It looks like Donald Trump is a 99% shoo-in to win this thing today.
Oh, I think so. You know, Ted Cruz made that stupid remark about New York values. And it lost, you know, I mean, Donald would have been the favorite anyway, but now it really lost him the state. And that's kind of tough.
What do you make of the fact that Kasich is staying in this?
I don't know. For my money, it's like, get out and let the main players have it. I mean, if they pull any shenanigans and they put in, you know, it's not right. I mean, the person with the most votes should win.
Well, they're looking to pull some kind of coup come July, right here in Ohio.
Yeah, that's right, and I like Kasich, but I think he's vying for a vice president's job.
Even though he says, if called, he will not take it.
Well, they all say that, don't they?
They do say that.
Yeah. Well, you... Hell, I've said that.
Exactly. You've made Shermans before.
Oh, sure.
Now, let's go to the other side, where it seemed to get close, and then there was this debate last week,
yeah.
And now it looks like Hillary is pulling away again.
Well, you know, I don't know. She might be in jail.
She might be in jail.
She probably should be fitted for an orange pantsuit.
Now, listen, Harry, we have pictures of you on the internet to this day. You know, you only let, to my knowledge, two people sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game with
right.
You. One was Bob Costas.
Yes.
And who was the other?
Well, Hillary, but remember I had Ronnie Reagan in the booth, too.
But you didn't let him sing, did you?
Well, no, I don't think he wanted, I don't think the president wanted to.
And you gave Hillary a big wet one. I mean, that's on the
yeah, end. But, you know, don't put too much in that.
You
she might be in jail soon.
Well, let's talk about the other gentleman there, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Isn't it great we have a communist running?
Okay, socialist, Terry, socialist.
Well, he says he's a socialist, but let's be honest, the guy honeymooned in Moscow.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Now, what do you make of his recent meeting or recent invitation to meet with the Pope?
Well, they're I think they both share the same political ideology.
Oh, the Pope's a communist.
Well, I don't say he's a communist, but I think he's kind of a left-wing guy.
Really? The Pope?
Yeah.
A left-winger?
Oh, yeah.
Did politics matter to you, Harry?
I didn't care. I think they're all goofy.
But you did vote.
Oh, I voted, sure. But I think they're all goofy. Look, these are the same people that set up Prohibition. And you take away my booze, you're not getting my vote.
Ken, or Harry, ooh, that was a bad mistake. Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about what's coming up come election time. Give me a prediction right up there from heaven. Who's going to be president?
Boy, I'll tell you, I wish I knew. I really don't. I think this country is so screwed up, the economy's bad. I don't know, you know. I think most Americans are getting to the point where they'd like to take both parties and throw them in the garbage.
Well, if you do that, you might end up with a third party candidate, like maybe Jesse Ventura.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a party called the Come As You Are Party. And you can come any way you want to. You can show up in blue jeans. You can show up in a tuxedo. I don't care. And you can be yourself and do whatever you want. How's that?
Hey, that's a nice way to do it, Harry. As I have you on every time, and as we end every one of our conversations, which I enjoy, and I'm sure we'll be checking in as the baseball season goes along. Oh, by the way, before we part ways here, Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, yes or no?
You gotta say that Pete did the crime. Personally, I love the guy, but, you know, if you allow that, you're gonna have to allow a lot more. I don't know. I love the guy, personally. That's all I'm going to say. It's up to the the baseball people to determine what he did wrong and if it's ever forgivable. And I've forgiven Pete long ago. I love the way the guy plays. He's a gutsy, hard-nosed player like Ty Cobb was, and I just love that. I love what he did, and remember, he never bet against the Reds.
That we found out about yet.
That we found out about, right.
Yeah. Okay, Harry.
What do you think, Scott?
I'm torn, because again, it's happening here in Ohio.
Yeah.
My problem is, if Pete had admitted in the beginning that he had, you know, he bet on baseball, that he had bet on Reds games. But the problem is now I'm just waiting to hear that he did bet against the Reds, because every time he shoots a denial out, 5 years later, that denial gets overturned.
Yeah, that's right.
And that that's bothersome to me.
Yeah, it is. And I love the guy, but, you know, if you do the crime, you got to do the time.
And he's still able. I mean, people haven't forgotten Pete Rose.
No, I love the guy. I mean, I don't know if in our time there was a guy who played the game harder than Pete, and I just think he was a sensational, dedicated player, and the guy had his demons, but he's still one of the greatest players that ever played the game of baseball.
I think you're right. Harry, take me out to the ball game.
All right, everybody! Let me hear ya! A one, a two, a three! Take me out to the ball game! Take me out to the crowd! Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack! I don't care if I ever get back for its root! Root, root for the Cubs! If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out of the old ball game. Let's get some runs.
And as we always mention, portraying the late, great Harry Carey, who passed away in 1998, Ken Savera. Ken, how are things with you?
You know, Scott, can you believe it's been since 98 that Harry's been gone?
You know, it is sad, but in a way, quite remarkable that he's still so beloved.
He's more popular in Chicago than he's ever been before. They put the statue out in front of Wrigley, well-deserved. You know, I'm just ecstatic that the city still loves him the way they do. And you know, you mentioned Pat Brickhouse, a very good friend of mine. Jack Brickhouse was a guest at my wedding, and I have never been happier to know somebody in my life. You talk about a guy with complete and total class. That Jack had it written all over him.
You knew both Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey. Tell me about the people as opposed to the broadcasters.
I knew Jack much better than I did Harry. Jack was one of the purest people I have ever met in my life. He was completely non-affected by his own popularity. He was just one of the sweetest people you could ever meet in your life. If Jack liked you, he would go out of his way to be your friend. And I was very honored in the fact that I interviewed him. We became very, very good friends. And I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. When he walked into my wedding, our wedding stopped. It stopped cold. Suddenly everybody in the receiving line was not looking at my wife and I. They were looking at Jack Brickhouse. Nobody could believe that he was there.
You know, it's interesting. Jack Brickhouse, certainly in Chicago, every bit as big a name as Harry Carey was.
Absolutely.
And I understand, you know, your voice, as people can hear, this is you as a normal person, is very similar to Harry's.
Why? That's what they're starting to tell me, I think, from years of doing
It's morphing together.
Exactly.
But why is there no Jack Brickhouse impersonators?
You know, I used to actually do Jack's voice. I think it was that Harry was more, for lack of a better term, and I mean this in a masculine way, flamboyant. He was more, he was wilder. He had the net, you know, that he used to stick out of the dugout to catch foul balls, and he was, you know, he would do the games out in center field at Comiskey Park without his shirt on, and he was just more of a, I don't know if, you know, either one of them were more or less popular, but Harry did crazier things, you know what I'm saying?
What would a Jack Brickhouse impersonation sound like?
He used to do the Bear games with Irv Kupcinet. And in Chicago, and it'd be like, all right, first and 10, 20-yard line, Concannon comes to the line, he's barking out his signals, oh, he's smeared, woo, brother! Oh, boy!
And of course, go ahead.
I know, I used to love it when Jack would describe a play like this, all right, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning. Watch it now, watch it. Willie McCovey up for the Giants. Cubs lead 2-1. There's a long drive. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Ow. Well, here are the unhappy totals for the Cubs. You know.
That is right. Jack just had a way of doing. And did you do the hey-hey?
Hey! I wanted Jack to come on, come to my honeymoon. Hey, that a boy, Kenny! Hey! Oh, boy! Oh, brother!
He was definitely a homer.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know what's interesting, Ken? As I sit back and look, and I got the chance, not Jack or Harry, but I got the chance to interview some of these great broadcasters before they passed away.
Sure.
Like Ernie Harwell.
Oh, Harwell. What a great announcer, man. What a great, great announcer.
I think the only broadcaster ever traded for a player in baseball history.
That's right.
He was and Red Barber.
Oh, God.
Now, there was, but you know, it's sad because there are nobody does Red Barber. And if there ever was anybody who had a unique voice,
yes.
Or Mel Allen.
Yes, right, exactly. You know, and those guys were just a special breed of baseball announcer. They're not like the, you know, cookie cutter guys that are on right now. I mean, they were personalities. They did stuff to earn their reputation. You know, it's like at Harry's Bar in Chicago, you could walk in any night after a game, and he'd be sitting there on a bar stool. You know, it was just the same with Bill Veeck. There used to be a place across the street from Comiskey Park in Chicago called McCuddy's Bar, and Bill Veeck would be in there with his leg propped up on the stool, and you could just go over, get a beer, and start talking baseball with him. I mean, it's such a great baseball tradition in Chicago. It just feels, you know, the baseball season comes to life, and everybody just seems happier. And you know, the White Sox are in a 3-game losing streak here, but they're doing incredibly well this year. They've gotten out of the gate real strong. Just a magical time in Chicago when baseball starts.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, as I always say, I am absolutely thrilled when you come on. It's always a lot of fun. And, you know, it does embody Harry in a way because it's not something that I think would offend him. And I think...
Oh, no, he loved
it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was very fortunate because there was a guy in Chicago who imitated Harry that he'd say really dirty stuff, and Harry threatened to sue him. And then they asked Jonathan Brandmeier, who's on the air here, what do you think of Ken Cervera? And he goes, hey, I like that guy. He always puts a disclaimer in. So he goes, no, that guy's funny. You know, so, you know, I didn't know Harry as well as I knew Jack, but I did come into contact with him several times, and he was incredibly gracious and very sweet.
That is very good to hear. Ken, thank you so much.
Hey, Scott, it's always a pleasure visiting with you. You know, you have got a great show, and I really love the fact that you have me on, and believe me, buddy, I'll be listening on that new app.
Hey, thank you so much. Ken Cervera, thank you. Ken Severo, one of the all-time greats and certainly our favorite Harry Carey impersonator here at the station. As I say, we have got people coming up over the next 2 hours. Boy, oh boy, you're not going to want to miss this broadcast. I have a list here of people we have in store, and it is going to be nothing short of amazing. But does anybody have a prediction today? I think because we have about 5 minutes before our next caller. Does anybody have a prediction as far as the New York primaries go tonight? Will Hillary's lead hold out? Will she beat Bernie Sanders? And will that be the death toll for the Bernie Sanders campaign? And it definitely looks like it's a no-brainer that Donald Trump will win, but will that put him on a streak that will allow him to win the nomination and get the 1,200 semi-odd delegates that he will not have to have a contested convention? Will Kasich do well tonight in New York? What do you think? Give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. Now, as I say, we're going to have some great guests on, and again, you can get us now on TuneIn, the TuneIn app. Do not miss that. Coming up later on in the week, on Thursday, back in the studio, 1:10 to 2 p.m., 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be back with us live in studio on Thursday. Don't miss that, taking phone calls. Now, one of the things that's going on in this campaign is Donald Trump has started to refer to Hillary Clinton as Crooked Hillary, as much as he did with Lion Ted and Little Marco. He's got these little nicknames, and now he's got Crooked Hillary. And Hillary does not like that moniker, and she has said that she's not even going to respond to it. So that's the way it goes, I guess. So we will keep on moving here, and we will have our next guest very, very shortly. So you got to hold on. As I say, the next 2 hours here at the station are going to be quite amazing, because the guests who we are going to have are going to be out of this world, and I mean that literally. And we started with Harry Carey, but how about the Cubs being 10-3? Oh my goodness, we're all happy. Also, we do want to mention that legendary actress from the hit sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, Doris Roberts, passed away yesterday at the age of 90. And I did have a chance years ago to talk to Doris. We did an interview. I looked for it last night, and I could not find the copy of that interview, but I had the chance to interview Doris years ago, and she was a lot of fun, so we certainly mourn the passing of Doris Roberts, who had a lot of funny lines, did a lot of funny things. Now, in, I guess, celebration of Harry being here today, of course, we have to hear the song. Go Cubs, go. Here we go.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gone. Here again, you can catch it all.
And of course, we hope that holds out for the entire season. And, perfect timing, because I think our next guest is coming up here. You're tuned to WWGH Radio here. And remember, again, that you can now stream WWGH Radio on any cell phone, tablet, or laptop anywhere in the world, smart television, by going to www.wwgh1071.com. That's also where our list of archived interviews are, and we've got some great ones like F. Lee Bailey, who was on last week, Jim Lavelle to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated, Dick Gregory, Charles Grodin, all kinds of great people, so check that out. And also, we are now on the new cell phone app, TuneIn. So check us out on TuneIn with 100,000 other radio stations, the app you can get on your cell phone, tablet, smart TV, and it's a free app. TuneIn, check that out. Now, a gentleman today who is very busy, because tonight is the New York primary, has very kindly agreed to call in today and spend about 14 minutes with us as we wrap up this hour. The legendary man himself. He's become a legend in his own time and his own mind. Republican presidential frontrunner, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, how are you?
Scott, how are you? Good morning.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. A big day for you.
This is going to be huge. It's going to be a landslide. We are going to win big league, and we're going to make America great again. In fact, I'm already making America great again, as you probably know.
Now, Donald, this is your home turf. You really feel confident here.
Oh, this is, yes. I'm going to crush Ted Cruz. Ted won't even know what happened to him. Honestly, it'll be terrible for him. It's frankly not even fair.
You have had some trouble though lately, Donald. I hate to bring this up. The last five of the last six states you have not won.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've won every single primary. I've won every single state, and the states where they say I haven't done, those were all loser numbers. Loser systems that they were using. I'm fighting with Reince Priebus right now, who runs the RNC. By the way, what kind of a name is Reince? Really? I mean, frankly, I think it's made up.
Well, I don't know if it's made up, but, you know, all roads point to Cleveland, just about 2 hours up the road from where I sit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there might be some kind of coup at this convention to take the nomination away from you.
Well, you know, if that happens, and I think we all know that it sounds like the Republican establishment is trying to make that happen. Because, you know, Ted, honestly, I have millions and millions of more votes than Ted has. So there's absolutely no reason why he would get the nomination. Don't you agree with me on that?
Well, you do have more votes, and I think most people would say that the man with more votes should get the nomination, but for some reason, that party doesn't seem to like you very well.
You know what, it's really too bad for them, because I'm winning, and I cannot guarantee there won't be riots and everything else if I don't get the nomination. You know, because I think you know how rabid my supporters are, and I'm not going to rule anything out. We could have riots, we could have tasers, we could have waterboarding. It could be really, I can tell you, I'm not going to have any control over it. I'm not going to take responsibility. They've got to give me the nomination.
And something kind of interesting that you took some heat for just recently, you're famous for the monikers that you lay on people, Lion, Ted,
right.
Little Marco. Well, now you
Little Marco, loser, lightweight, moron, stupid. I think I'm just going to trademark a lot of these phrases because people love them, frankly.
You had a problem with Marco, didn't you? He was a little troublesome for you.
Well, you know what, Little Marco, you know, and not only do I call him that, his wife calls him that. I don't think you realize that. That's where I got it from. She also, I found out she has another nickname for him in those intimate moments. It's Get Off of Me. So I was either going to call him Get Off of Me or Little Marco. And honestly, I think Little Marco is a lot nicer. And also, you know, here's the thing about Little Marco, his little boots. Did you see those boots he wears?
I remember his boots. Yes, I do.
The boots. You have to see the boots. And frankly, I'm not a boot guy. He's very tiny. You know,
okay.
I'm 6'3". He's a very, very tiny person with big ears. I have big hands. He has big ears. I think, you know, women prefer big hands to big ears. Let me tell you that, Scott. All right? And that's no secret.
You know, what is the thing with your hands, Donald? We can't get away from
this.
I don't know.
I have fantastic hands. I have huge hands. I have billionaire hands, Scott. Billionaire hands. That's with a B. That's not with an M. That's billionaire hands. And they're fantastic hands. And I'm a fantastic builder, and I've built amazing things. And I don't know why Mark, you know, he tried to do something. Marco, that's the problem with Marco Rubio. By the way, did you know he used to be in Menudo? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes, he was in Menudo. He was probably came in after Ricky, whatever his name, left. But Marco Rubio was in Menudo, and it's no secret, you know, that's the kind of thing. But this guy tried to take me down, and I took him apart. I took him apart because that's what I do. If you hit me, I hit back 10 times harder. I'll take your head off, frankly.
Well, you know something, where that question started, you know, you do Lying Ted and you do Little Marco, but now you've added a new one as of this week, Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary, you know what, I think it's going to be huge. I think it's really, really going to be big. She's, you know, she's crooked, she's not a nice person, and I think, you know, I'm a nice guy, I'm a very nice guy.
No, listen,
that whole thing with the hot sauce is ridiculous, you know.
Donald, she came to your wedding. You invited her. You were hugging her.
Well, I was hugging a lot of people. I mean, Rosie was at my wedding. I mean, frankly, she's a big fat cow. I don't even like her, you know.
Now, it's interesting because Rosie came out against you this week. She's not very happy with you again.
Oh, wow. That's a shocker. I can't believe that. Wow, I'm really surprised. You know, I don't even know how she's on TV. Did you see they put her back on about a year ago, back on The View?
They did.
Yeah, and she self-destructed in about 24 hours. So, you know, I don't like you. I'm a very, very, very well-known New York person. And when you do things like that, you invite people to your wedding because, frankly, it's not like a regular wedding. You know, I have to bring people in. I've got to bring other celebrities in. And Hillary and Bill were there. And frankly, I have to tell you something. I like Bill. I golf with Bill. He's a good guy. And Bill told me something very, very interesting, okay, that Hillary is the only person who can swear under oath that she hasn't slept with Bill. And I think that's, you know, I think that's very telling.
Oh, my God. Well, we need to get back to Rosie for a second here, because Rosie did make a comment about you recently, and this is from Inside Edition. So just hold on for a second, Donald.
Fantastic show.
Here we go. Okay.
...did by none other than his old nemesis, Rosie O'Donnell.
He's not even qualified to run a game show. No, he is the worst representation of what the United States is or could be.
Rosie has been mostly silent about the Republican frontrunner until now, even when he ripped her during that first Republican debate.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account is
only Rosie O'Donnell.
It's an epic battle worthy of a new Star Wars movie. You have to decide. Are you going to be with the Force or are you going to be on the dark side? It's your choice.
And that's courtesy of Inside Edition. Donald, she said you weren't qualified to run a game show.
Well, Scott, I can't even believe you're giving her time. Number one, I ran The Apprentice, which was the number one rated reality show on NBC for over a decade. All right, I made NBC millions and millions and millions of dollars. What's Rosie done? Really, what's Rosie done? Failed magazine, failed TV show, two failed attempts on The View. So, you know, I don't want to be mean, but honestly, she's not really doing anything.
I want to get past, because we're on limited time, we only have you for five more minutes, Donald. You asked our governor, John Kasich, to get out of the race. Where do you stand on that? Because he seems to be your competition in New York today.
Well, I'd like to stand on his head. I don't know why he doesn't get out. He's just, he's really making it tough for me, because if he'd step aside, I could really get a clear shot at Ted. He's essentially what John Kasich is doing. And by the way, he's not going to win. He can't get the nomination, and he can't win. All right, so that's number one, and that's a fact. I know you love your governor. He's a nice guy. He's got to get a better haircut, and he's got to get a better suit, frankly. The guy's got to go to a better tailor. I don't know what he's doing. It looks like he's going to Supercuts or something. But he's got to get out of my way.
Okay. Donald, now listen, you know, you come on my show. I hope, you know, I'm not like Megyn Kelly. We have a good relationship.
No, you're very nice, and I've loved all of our interviews. You've been very, very good to me, and I appreciate that.
Well, that's why I hate to do this, Donald, because I don't want to end up on the enemies list. But I have spies out there in New York, and I know you're out there campaigning today.
Right. Every day. You know, it's a fantastic city. It's my city, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I heard that you have somebody in my profession, a New York boy, out there campaigning with you today. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. I've got the biggest name in broadcasting that's ever lived, other than me, of course.
Yeah, I heard you have Larry King with you.
Absolutely, he's sitting right next to me.
Well, could you put Larry on the line?
Give me 1 second, I'm going to hand the phone over to him.
Hello, folks. Larry King. Talking to you, Larry King, live. Coming to you live from New York City.
Larry, this is Scott Spears here in Ohio. Why are you out there with Donald Trump campaigning today? I thought broadcasters were supposed to be impartial.
Well, let me tell you something. First off, let me just tell you about my sponsor, Garlic. Garlic, it's unique. 6 wives, 7 heart attacks. I couldn't do it without Garlic. Absolutely fantastic. Scott, let me tell you something. I'm not your normal broadcaster. When I like something, I tell everyone about it, like oxygen. It's fantastic. I don't care what anyone says. I've got a tank with me right now. It's really, really incredible. And the Donald, there's no one like the Donald. He's fantastic. He appeared on my show many, many times over the years. I think he's great. And by the way, he let me touch his hair. And I only think 6 people in the world have done that. More people have been to the moon than touched the Donald's hair.
Larry, I've been told that recently on your little program on Aura TV there, that you had said that you're Donald's friend, you like Donald, and the Donald that we're seeing who doesn't like illegal immigrants, who is big, who is calling people names, that's not the real Donald.
That's not the real Donald. The real Donald is a teddy bear. I've hung out with him. We've talked. We've been to baseball games. He's a very, very sweet man. The man you see on TV, that's not the guy that you, the guy that I know. He's very nice.
Larry, how's your...
He loves children.
Larry, you're in your mid-80s now. How you feeling?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How you feeling?
Oh, how am I feeling? I thought you said something else. I can feel most of my body parts. I haven't felt anything below my knees today. That's a little strange.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you keep out on the campaign trail. Give us Donald back for 2 more minutes.
That's right. Larry King Live is now on the interweb. So make sure you tune in and listen to me there. All right. Donald, let me give you back the phone.
Interweb. I have no idea.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry. I hate to break it to Larry. He passed away about 2 hours ago.
Did he?
I'm not gonna tell him.
No.
Yes. It's a shame, but he just keeps moving. It's like a zombie movie.
Donald, Larry just told us that this guy we're seeing, you know, who calls people fat pigs and doesn't like illegal immigrants, that is not you. That's a fake.
Well, it's not that it's a fake. Listen, Scott, you got to put on your game face, right? You got to put on your game face. When people get in your face, when people push back at you, what do? Do you just fold like a card table? No, that's what losers do. All right? I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm going to push back, and I'm going to fight back. Whatever I have to do to win, because I'm going to make America great again. And you can't do that in second place. You've got to be in first place. And in first place, you have to have the killer instinct. And that's what I have.
Any final words today for our listening audience, Donald, as you head to... Where's the big party tonight? It's not going to be in Mar-a-Lago, is it?
No, that's in Florida. No, it'll probably be at the Plaza, or we'll just do it at the Trump Building on Fifth Avenue, which is a fantastic building. It's a beautiful building, I have to tell you. It's one of the most premier buildings in all of New York City. And we're going to... You already know this. This is a fait accompli. I'm going to win. So that's the most important thing. And Ted Cruz, when I become president, I'm going to build a wall on the northern border of the United States, not just the southern border, because we have to keep the Canadians out, by the way. I don't think you realize that, along with the Mexicans. But when I build the wall, Trump Wall North,
I'm going to personally throw Rafael Eduardo Cruz over the wall, get him out of our country.
Donald,
that's my promise.
I tell you, Donald, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and especially
on
such a busy day. And we got to let the listening audience know, of course, as always, brilliantly portraying Donald Trump, and today Larry King as well, John D. Demencio. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Have them, they can find me on Twitter at Johnny D. 23, J-O-H-N-N-Y-D 23, and they can follow me there and see about my appearances on Conan and on Fox Red Eye and all the other different shows that I do.
Will you be around the Republican convention come July?
I have gotten quite a few calls for that, so I may be in your fair state.
Maybe we'll meet up face to face.
That would be great. That would be hilarious.
Thank you so much, John.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, that you can't beat that. And we've got another hour of this. Who's coming? None of the people you've heard so far. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break.
Can't you do now that maybe you could do 20, 30 years?
I beg your